Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Halfway through the season, Marc Gasol is better than ever coming off a broken foot. It's been a remarkable recovery. Here from Mark as he talks about how he feels now, how he felt then, an interesting story about the time of the injury, which was almost a year ago, and quite a bit more. We'll take a look at his midseason evaluation and some Grizzly news. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you. Coming up, we're going to talk a lot about Marc Gasol in this edition of the podcast. We're going to hear from Marc. In fact, I had a chance to talk with Marc for a few minutes in the locker room after the game on Sunday night about where he's at in his recovery from injury and about some of the things that surrounded the injury. Very interesting chat, and Marc very candid. I think you're going to want to hear what he had to say, and you're only going to hear it right here on Locked On Grizzlies. Today, as I record this, it is Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and the Grizzlies are not playing basketball, which is unfortunate, as we've discussed. But they are out in the community as part of the Day of Service, which is something that they have really emphasized, and rightly so. I mean, this is what it's supposed to be all about. To serve the community, to be part of the greater good. Marc Gasol, among the rest of his teammates over at the Memphis Union Mission, to serve to the homeless, serve food, and to give comfort, which is a terrific thing to do. And it's part of the Day of Service that a lot of people, not just in Memphis, but around the country and around the world, are doing on this day. So a tremendous thing. And I think at least, if the game is not going to be played, and I hope that that's just a one-year blip on the radar, but if the game is not going to be played, at least some good in that service is being done in the proper spirit. Now, in terms of Marc, this is going to serve as kind of his midseason evaluation. We've been doing a whole bunch of midseason evaluations here on the pod when we can, kind of, been able to have to spread them out over the last few days just because of the nature of the schedule. But Marc, there's no question that Marc Gasol, his recovery has been nothing short of extraordinary. You look at the odds against him, and I wrote extensively about this in the Commercial Appeal. I talked about it. If I had had the pod at that point, we would have had the emergency pod, and I would have talked about all of the previous big men that have gone through this injury, and none of them have been able to return the same, and certainly not in the relatively short amount of time that Marc Gasol did. It is by any comparison an off the charts recovery. You're talking about the likes of Eric Montross and Curtis Borchardt, who basically were done in their midfoot injuries. Zdrunas Ilgauskas took him probably 3 years to even come back to remotely close to what he was, and he still had minutes issues throughout. Yao Ming is a well-chronicled situation with him that he never, ever was the same and was never able to do it. And these are all, big men. And yet Marc comes in and has a very similar injury, something that historically has not been good, not only with the fact that he's a big man, but also with his age. And he's been better. He's been better in terms of his mobility. He's been more agile. He's, at the behest of David Fizdale, he's added the three-point shot to his repertoire, and now he is somebody that you have to go out and guard all the way out past the three-point line. That's something that you did not have to worry about in the past with Marc, but now you do. He can go out and fire off that three. And not only that, but he's also been used as a facilitator more and more too. He was always going to be part of that aspect of the offense, but even more, his assists are higher than ever. His assist to turnover ratio is better than ever. Fewer turnovers than he's ever had, which is saying something. But he's been able to do all of that because David Fizdale really wants to use him as an entire basketball player, you know, that not just a passer here and a big man there, but he wants him to be, you know, a guy that can truly run the offense, and everything runs through Mark, and he needs to get his shots, and he needs to be more aggressive. And that, for the first time, we've seen big stretches from Mark where that has been the case, where he has actually been aggressive, where he has taken a whole bunch of shots. He's averaging more shot attempts than at any point in his career. More usage. His usage rate is higher than it's ever been. You know, he's playing at a faster pace this year than he's ever played, which is amazing, again, considering the injury. And, you know, Mark was telling me that, you know, you'll hear him say something like this in just a little bit, but, you know, he was talking about the trainers, the training staff, and they keep very close tabs on him. And his speeds are better than they were. And it makes sense. You look at what he's done and the kind of player that he looks like out there on the court, he looks more mobile. He looks like he's able to move better. He's been, you know, leading breaks. You know, he's actually on closeouts, you know, when he's got that 3-point shot, he can take off the dribble, drive in, and he's had that little floater. He's been able to dish the ball off. You know, that's stuff that you can't do unless there's a certain level of agility. You know, all of this has come at a little bit of a cost because his rebounding is down. You know, that he's never rebounded less in his career, but his rebounding was kind of trending down to begin with. Over the last few years, it's been sort of steadily heading in that downward direction. He hasn't averaged more than 8 rebounds a game since the 2011-12 season. So he's at 6 right now. He's been at 7, between 7 and 8 for the last 4 years. So not a huge difference. His assists, though, he's at 4.2 assists per game. That's more than he's ever had. His assist percentage is by far higher than it's ever been in his career, 23% of possessions. He's taking, as I mentioned, he's taking 16 shots a game, which is, you know, more than he's ever taken. Last year was his previous high, and that was 13.5, so you're talking about a big jump there. And so much of that has come at the three-point line and well chronicled. He's shooting 39% from three for a guy that, you know, hadn't even really done anything from the three-point line, you know, at any point in his career. Adding that is nice. Defensively, he also looks much more capable of leading and being the guy that is at the center of the whole thing. Now, you know, there have been moments and been some problems and communication issues. There were problems on Sunday. But by and large, you know, he's had a huge impact defensively, the kind of impact that you would expect a former defensive player of the year to have. And all of that coming together the way that it has for the Grizzlies is not only reassuring, but it gives tremendous hope for him at the age of 31 that he's, you know, because he's still got, you know, 3 years after this one left on his contract. And so you don't, if you had seen signs of a guy breaking down, if you had seen signs of a guy that couldn't play at a high level, now you know not only are you in trouble competitively, but you're in trouble from a cap perspective as well, because you're gonna have a lot of money that you're just not gonna be able to do much with. But now, you know, Mark is very much in contention for an all-star. He should certainly be an all-star, and, you know, whether he should start or not depends on, you know, how you feel about guys like Anthony Davis or you know, DeMarcus Cousins, or, you know, guys that have big huge stats but aren't really intimately involved in more winning. You know, Mark's stats aren't as gaudy, but he's certainly a better defender. You know, even I would say that Anthony Davis has a little more flashy numbers, but, you know, Mark positionally and consistently, you know, I think that's an interesting debate to have. Certainly more than Boogie, although I love Boogie when he's dialed in. But Mark, you know, if you're asking me about, you know, who should start, you know, I think winning has to play a little bit of a role in that, especially given the challenges from an injury perspective and everything else that the Grizzlies have had to deal with. It's been amazing to see. And so with that in mind, I had a chance, as I mentioned a day or so ago, to talk to Mark for a few minutes about the injury and about where he's at.
Your minutes are basically what they were pre-injury, and it's now halfway through the season. It's been a pretty remarable recovery when you look at the history of your injury.
I can't wait to be a year from the injury. That I was talking to the trainer before I wanted to be over because they said past the year you're out of the woods. So I still haven't you know.
You're still.
I still haven't blown out the balloons and all that. I'm still not having a party yet. But I feel great. I feel good.
You look more agile. You're doing things on the court. You know, physically, your mobility is.
I try to change. Obviously, I always try to get a little better. I always try to tweak my diet and my training. Obviously, I'm not going to be a high flyer, but to have a better engine and to keep going and be really efficient out there running. You know, that's important for me. And they, obviously, you know how they care about numbers, and they're looking at numbers, and they say everything looks amazing, way better than obviously last year.
No one has ever done what you've done in terms of this injury. It's previously anybody that's been over 30 or a big man or both
it adds a little more challenge to it. But I always approached it with a sense that I was gonna. Was going to overcome it. I had no doubt in my mind. Obviously, you know, you hear about things, but and cases and how everything went, and I knew I was going to do everything on my part to make it work. So I'm happy the way everything turns out, and I don't want to look back.
Do you have a plan for the day? Do you have a party plan?
February 8th. Let me see where we're going to be. It's going to be after the Super Bowl. We're going to be in. At home against Phoenix.
There you go. See.
We'll see. We'll see. Drop it's balloons. Crazy how we have the Brooklyn game. It's almost the same game that we had last year. That's a trip we play at home against Portland.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
right.
And then we had to go to Brooklyn.
That was the one. And then the Portland was. Yeah.
The one I have. I can't remember. It was a Wednesday or Monday, but it was.
It was like right before the break.
Right before the break. Game and a half right. Before the break. And I knew. But what they say, like, looking at the how everything happened, like, the damage was already done. Even if I caught it and I had an MRI scheduled for the next day. Like before traveling to Brooklyn, I had an MRI scheduled. So the MRI that I took after the injury was already scheduled. So they said it would be a stress reaction, which is pretty much the same thing. They would advise get a couple of pins in there like they did. So
would it have mattered? I mean, if you had
no, the problem was I was already doomed at that time. I was already playing on something that I shouldn't. That it was already about to break. So it break or not break, it wouldn't change the outcome.
Would have been the same.
But almost a year. So really, really excited.
Let me know what you thought of Mark's interview. Shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com, or a tweet @peteredmiston. That's EDMISTON. I would love to hear from you. I thought it was really interesting, his comments at the end about how he was doomed, that it was an injury that he had been playing on for too long, and that there wasn't really much that would have changed. You know, had they diagnosed it a little earlier, they would have put a couple pins in, and maybe that would have helped a little bit, but he feels like, and the word he's gotten is that it ultimately would have broken, that it was too far gone. We talked about it at the time. And I certainly wrote about it that there were warning signs. He played a lot of minutes last year in the month of January leading up to the injury, and he that game before, he was questionable going into the game. The guy wants to play. He always wants to play. And, I will tell you, I did not think, based on the level and based on the amount that he was playing, that he would be able to sustain this at all. I did not think that. So this is, it's tremendous. It's a tremendous testament to his physical, I guess the word would be determination. He really was determined physically to be better, to be leaner, to have better, a better body, to be able to withstand all of this, to make himself, not only healthier, but to make himself in some ways a more versatile player, and to make himself more able to, defend multiple positions, to play in a much more up-tempo type league. And he's done that. It's been amazing to see. Now, hopefully it will continue. And as you saw, he has marked very clearly on the calendar and in his mind that year date that he is, as he puts it, kind of out of the woods, or that they no longer have to, you know, be quite so vigilant with how they've watched his recovery, because they're very, very vigilant about it. But, you know, his minutes have been pretty consistent all year, and they've been big. And he's playing at an exceptional level. So in terms of, like, comeback player of the year, you know, I never know what the criteria for that is. You could put that in any number of different ways and for any number of different types of injuries or, you know, situations that have happened or whatever. But he's got to be way up on the list based on the things that, he has done. So his midseason evaluation and his words, I mean, it's spectacular. There's really, based on what you would have expected and what you would have seen and what you would have hoped for, and the absolute best case scenario, he has exceeded all of that. Now, coming up tomorrow on the pod, we'll evaluate some of the wings and also kind of look at that wing situation right now, which seems to be a little bit of a sticking point for the Grizzlies, because, you know, one of the things that, you know, they've not been able to do on a consistent basis is find those pairings and those groupings and deal with injury and all that stuff. We'll take a look at some of those combinations and some of the things that the Grizzlies could do and maybe should do leading up to the game against the Washington Wizards coming up on Wednesday. A game, by the way, that the Grizzlies are, you know, in D.C. 2 days before the inauguration, and apparently they had some difficulty getting their hotel and, you know, getting everything squared away, transportation. Well, it's a little bit nuts to do it then. So I know you could pick just about any other time, and it would be better to go to Washington D.C. than this week. That's the way it goes. That's how it is. And the Wizards are starting to improve a little bit. They've had a very up and down kind of season, but they are winners of 5 of their last 6 ball games, racked up 75 points in the first half against the Portland Trailblazers on MLK Day. So you may also recall one of the times, I think it was last time or a time before the Grizzlies were in Washington, was the time that Dave Yeager decided to sort of unceremoniously rest or bench the bigs, Mark and Zach, because of what he perceived to be some poor performance and what did not go over especially well in the locker room. Things are a bit better now. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And for those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for you. Our audience is 96% of men and 87% between the ages of 18 to 44. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.